This is a free Off The Ball podcast. For access to the best in sporting analysis from the likes of Brian O'Driscoll, Andy Dunn, Kevin Kilbane, Dion Fanning, Tommy Walsh, Darren O'Sullivan and lots more, become an Off The Ball member today.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
Off The Ball's Football Daily.
And welcome along to Thursday's Football Daily. I'm Phil Egan. Coming up today, Shamrock Rovers have a huge game in Finland where they're looking to secure Conference League football once again. Liverpool are one step closer to completing a big money move for a back-to-back Champions League winner. And Katie McCabe makes her Chelsea debut in the Champions League qualifiers. But first, Shamrock Rovers are going in search of their first European away win of the season in their bid to qualify for the group stage of the Conference League. The Hoops drew 1-1 with Coupes of Finland in Tala last week in the first leg of their playoff tie. Rovers have lost all three away games in Europe this season and have conceded a combined 9 goals against Floriana, Ararat Armenia and Ignacia. Rovers boss Stephen Bradley says they have to perform to their levels if they're to have any chance.
Just go and play the game. Hit our performance levels and everything else will look after itself. But I'm looking forward to it. It's a good game against a good team.
On this week's LOI pod, Stephen Doyle was joined as ever by Vinnie Perth and Gareth McGlynn. And the question asked was, if Rovers were to be knocked out of Europe, would it have a detrimental impact on their domestic camp?
Do you think if Rovers were, and I said we're recording on Wednesday for ahead of that Thursday game between Rovers and Coupes, if Rovers were to lose that match against Coupes or to lose the tie and go out of Europe, Gareth, do you think it could have an impact psychologically on their title aspirations?
Absolutely, 100%. I keep saying this. I know people turn around and go, no, but if they go out, they'll be able to concentrate in the league matches. No way. It's all about momentum and it's all about confidence. And as Vinny said, there's not 12, 15 really senior players in that dressing room anymore. There's a nice mixture of young players, established players and really senior players. And it's a real, real good, strong team. But if they were to go out at Coupes tomorrow night and they were going into that match against Derry, it would be, and Pat's won and Bo's won on Friday night. It definitely would sharpen them up a bit, but they would be much better for themselves and the players they won tomorrow night.
And by the way, Steve, this Rovers team are capable of winning over Finland and winning on Sunday. So we look like gobshites this time next week. We're not. We're just saying. I'm just telling you, there's a health warning around Shamrock Rovers at the moment. They may or may not answer all of those questions, but we could be looking at the beginning of the new cycle or the end of this cycle, and we don't know yet. Bradley will hate that. Will be pissed off with me for saying it, but they're in a really sticky situation. They aren't playing well at the moment, and they're not blowing teams away. I still think they're the best. And they've got some brilliant footballers, but this is a huge test for him and his group at the moment.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And I think even the most measured Shamrock Rovers fans, and they're the kind of ones I look at when I'm looking at social media, would say, look, they'd be concerned going away to Finland because their away form in Europe hasn't been good enough this year. So it is a huge, huge game.
And remember, you can listen to the LOI pod for free each and every week in your OTB Football podcast feed. Kick-off this afternoon is 4 o'clock. Elsewhere in Europe tonight, NFL Premiership champions Larne have a huge chance of qualifying for the Conference League once again. They're 2-0 up on Lincoln Red Imps of Gibraltar with the second leg at home. Hearts booked their place in the league phase of the Conference League last night, despite not winning a single game in Europe this summer over 90 minutes. They came through 4-3 on penalties against Rapid Vienna after a 2-2 draw on the night. It was the sixth European qualifying game they failed to win without a shootout. But Hearts boss Wouter Franken wasn't bothered in the dressing room afterwards.
Enjoy it, guys. You deserve it. You deserve to go to the league phase for all the work you put in. You have to prepare, take care of your body so we're ready to Saturday. But today, enjoy it, guys.
Rangers boss Derek McInnes says his team can't play for a draw tonight if they want to secure a place in the Conference League alongside Hearts. Rangers are 1-0 up going into the second leg against Jablonec in the Czech Republic. McInnes wants a brave performance from his side.
It's important that we set out to win. We have to try and play to win. I think it's important that the players recognise that we're not just going out to try and protect a 1-0 lead.
Hibs host Genk of Belgium with its scoreless from the first leg, and Motherwell are away to Freiburg, who lead 3-1 from the first leg. Liverpool will host Tottenham in round 3 of the Carabao Cup when the teams playing in Europe enter the competition. Spurs advanced last night with a 5-1 win at home to Charlton. Savio scored just a day after joining from Manchester City in an £85 million deal. Having lost their Premier League opener to Brentford, a relieved Dominic Solanke was also on target.
We're all positive about this season. We want to have a great year after last year. And yeah, I think we're building a great team, so hopefully we can do something great this season.
The Champions League draw takes place this evening at 5 o'clock. Last night, Ike Athens, Fenerbahce, Viking and Slovan Bratislava all booked their place in the league phase. One club who won't be in the Champions League is Celtic. Scotland won't have any representation in Europe's biggest club competition for the second season in a row. Tom English from the BBC joined Owen Sheehan on the football show last night and questioned what Celtic's actual level is.
There's a pretty stellar lineup of Europa League teams there, and many, many of them are much better than Celtic are. And I say that's their level. I'm not convinced it's their level. I'm not convinced.
What do you mean? Celtic, is it lower or higher?
Yeah, lower.
Conference League?
Conference League. Like, you know, Celtic last season were they won the league. They beat Hearts. They broke Hearts' hearts on the last day, 3 minutes to go, they did it. But they were a poor champions last season, let's be honest. I think most Celtic people would admit that. O'Neill picked them up by the scruff of the neck and dragged them over the line. And they got the job done, fair play. But it was a poor season for Celtic, despite the fact that they won the double. I know that doesn't make sense, but the quality of their play wasn't good enough. I still remain to be convinced that they have kicked on here. You know, they've lost Engels, who was an important player for them, maybe a little bit underrated. They've lost Dyson Maeda, very, very important player. He was a hugely important figure in the run-in for the title last season. And the players that have come in have still got a lot to prove. I think they might well prove it, but they haven't done it yet. And it's only early days. So I'm not convinced. I remain to be convinced that they can prosper in the Europa League. After last night, far too many question marks about the moral character of this team. So there's an awful lot for Celtic to prove here, and they have, in terms of Europa League, I'd say if this is what they've got and they don't improve their squad, I think they're going to have serious problems in the Europa League because they're not good enough. They got found out last night. A good manager found them out. Celtic need to plug those gaps. And if they plug them, then yes, they could possibly do something in the Europa League. But as it stands here today, I think that their deficiencies are too glaringly obvious for them to do much in the Europa League.
And remember, if you want to listen back to that in full, you can do so now in your OTB Football podcast feed. Become a member and sign up at offtheball.com/join. Liverpool have agreed a deal worth £120 million with PSG for France international Bradley Barcola. It's subject to some details being finalised. The 23-year-old, who's won back-to-back Champions League titles with PSG, will cost a fixed £100 million plus £20 million more in add-ons. Liam Delap has completed his move from Chelsea to Nottingham Forest for £50 million. The striker signed a 5-year deal at the City Ground. He spent just 1 year at Chelsea and made 47 appearances in all competitions. 5 of those were in the Champions League, and the 23-year-old scored his first goal in the Champions League in that 3-0 win against Barcelona. Elhaj Diouf's been given permission to undergo a medical with Brentford. His current club West Ham have accepted a £35 million offer from Brentford. Irish eyes were on Troy Parrott on Tuesday night and will continue to be on him to see how he gets on in Seville with Real Betis. Manuel Pellegrini's side are back in action this Saturday afternoon against Levante. And last night on the football show, Spanish football expert Graeme Hunter joined Owen and explained why Parrott will enjoy his time in the south of Spain.
Playing in mid-August in an away game with a team you've just joined, I think it was absolutely clear that he was going to, you know, get the appropriate amount of time. I spoke for the first time in my life to his representative today, who said, look, his view was, I think Troy changed the game. And certainly if you looked at the quality of the winning goal, I'm guessing Troy, he was drawing a defender away, I suppose, when the Pablo Garcia knocks the ball in quite beautifully. I suppose he's looking to his side and saying, wow, that's a nice enough move, a nice enough finish. The team is packed with absolutely beautiful talent around him. So, you know, you're talking about last night, I'd take a wider view and I'd be saying I'd hugely enthused to see a player of his ability and athleticism and character in the league, playing for a team where the creative footballers around him are absolutely gorgeous. And I state again, I think he's going to have the time of his life. I genuinely, he's also working for a Chilean coach who's very demanding, and all of you know something about, mostly because of his time at City, discard the West Ham time. But you look across Manuel Pellegrini's general CV, he's a coach who teaches and improves, regularly teaches and improves footballers. So I'm hoping that, you know, whatever happens next, maybe in 3 years after 100 goals, who knows, that Troy doesn't simply enjoy himself, maybe win a trophy, but I genuinely do expect him to develop because of the kind of footballer he's playing with, Isco, Fornals, Antony, the guy he's working for, the demands of the fans. He, even in an Ireland home game, he's gonna occasionally say, I've not seen fans like this before, I think. I share all your enthusiasm, but I go further. I like everything I've seen about Troy Parrott in general. I haven't made a study of him, but when I listen to him talk, when I watch him play, when I see what he's been brave enough to do, and when you see what Betis think of him, I just find him an exciting lad, and I'm all in to see him succeeding and thriving.
Ireland captain Katie McCabe made her competitive debut for Chelsea in the Champions League last night, and she set up the first goal in their 5-2 win at home to Real Sociedad in the first leg of their final qualifying round tie. In the same round, Kira Caruso scored the winner for Coup, who beat PSV Eindhoven 1-0 away from home. And Spain international Esther Gonzalez has attracted backlash after signing for Saudi women's Premier League side Al-Qadsiyah. The 33-year-old agreed a mutual contract termination with NWSL champions Gotham FC in July. She stepped away from the sport temporarily to attend a personal matter in Spain, according to the club's statement. Gonzalez, whose contract was due to expire next year, said on social media the decision was due to strictly personal reasons, adding that New York-based Gotham will always hold a special place in her heart. However, on Sunday, Al-Qadsiyah announced the signing of the 2023 World Cup winner, sparking criticism from both Gotham fans over the nature of the departure and from within the LGBTQ plus community. That's about all we have time for in today's Football Daily. I'm Phil Egan, back with more tomorrow.
Off the Balls, Football Daily.
This is a free Off the Ball podcast. For access to the best in sporting analysis from the likes of Brian O'Driscoll, Andy Dunn, Kevin Kilbane, Dion Fanning, Tommy Walsh, Darren O'Sullivan and lots more, become an Off the Ball member today.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.